Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, October the 9th, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 52, the first paragraph that begins, "But in most fields," and ends, "For something new that does." And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers for the 12 steps, Marianne H., the 12 traditions, Patty T., readers of the text, Nancy R., Vanessa G., and Abby D. Our newcomer greeter is Ramona A., and our second hour host is Eileen M., and Kathy S. will have announcements this morning. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, October the 8th, 2020. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 21,810. That's 21810. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 21,811. That's 21811. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary Ann H. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Mary Ann H., recovered compulsive overeater, New Jersey. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory. And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for your service, and I will pass.
Thank you, Marianne H. And I'll now ask Patty T. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. Patty T. from New York, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of OA. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me read, and I'll pass back to Lisa.
Thank you, Patty T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we're resuming our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're on page 52. We're going to be reading and commenting on the first paragraph that begins, "But in most fields, our generation," and ends, "Does not work for something new, which does." And I will ask Nancy R. to please begin reading.
Good morning, Nancy R. from Illinois, recovered compulsive overeater. "But in most fields, our generation has witnessed complete liberation of our thinking. Show any longshoreman a Sunday supplement describing a proposal to explore the moon by means of a rocket, and he will say, 'I bet they do it, maybe not so long either.' Is not our age characterized by the ease with which we discard old ideas for new, by the complete readiness with which we throw away the theory or gadget which does not work for something new, which does?" That last sentence, I have it underlined, and next to it I've written in the margin in my book, "Set aside prayer." And I'm glad I wrote that, because that's a good reminder. As I was reading the paragraph, I was thinking of, there's several different things that are coming to mind, but a set-aside prayer, yeah. Help me set aside everything I think I know about program, about my disease, about this book, about, I'm using my own words in the set-aside prayer. About everything about you, my higher power, and so that I may have a new experience with these things. That's not the way the set-aside prayer is exactly written, but that's one of the ways that I say it and use it to help me remember that. the things I thought I knew got me to where I was before recovery in this program. And I need to set aside what I think I know about today, what I think I know about this meeting, what I think I know about this reading, and what just everything, so that I can have a new experience with my higher power and with life. And it just really frees me from myself. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy R., for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you've shared on any of the vision meetings on Monday or Tuesday, we ask you to hold back this morning. And who would like to share on what was read?
Melissa D.
Melissa.
Robin P. in London.
Robin.
Murphy D. in Ireland.
Murphy.
Alden Abbey.
Okay, I missed that. Somebody.
Ellen Abbey.
Florida.
Ellen. Okay, who's from Florida?
Lucy B.
Lucy B, thank you. Anybody else? Okay, so here's what I have. I have Melissa C, Robin P, Murphy D, Ellen M, and Lucy B. Melissa, please share with us, followed by Robin P.
Hey, good morning, Lisa. Thanks so much for your service this morning. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, when I read this, I can't help but think about my Bluetooth and my iPhone and all the things that, you know, as soon as they're not working as quickly or as efficiently as the update promises the new one will, I've got no problem, like, letting those things go. You know, that I do have an ease of picking up new gadgets and new ideas. When the old ones are no longer working as efficiently, it seems pretty easy to put them aside. And I think I can apply the same concept, the same understanding to, you know, coming to believe in a power greater than myself, because the power that I had within myself, add to that all other human power, add to that all other ideas and schemes, those things failed to work. They were not working for me. And, you know, and no matter what I tried, and I kept retrying. Here's the thing that I think about myself in terms of my resistance to turning over to a higher power. I put so much faith and reliance in myself that I would try the same things over and over again that gave me lousy results, but it was so painful for me to really admit that I didn't know, that I really had no power. You know, I had lots of knowledge, actually, but no power to implement any of the things that I knew about nutrition, about exercise, about healthy eating, about letting things go. I needed a relationship with a power greater than myself. And, you know, and so today I think about the spiritual experience in the back of the book, and that the only thing that can, you know, that can keep me in everlasting ignorance is contempt prior to investigation. And here I'm told, investigate. Like, look at it. And, you know, and the thing that sold me on this idea about a higher power was other people, you know, having success, that this gadget that they picked up, you know, call it God, right? The power greater than themselves, gave them something that I looked at and I thought, I want that, you know, I want that for myself. And that, you know, has been a life changer for me. I'm so grateful for the people who, you know, who exhibited what it was like to have a relationship with God and made that irresistible to me. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Melissa C. And Robin P., you're up, followed by Murphy D.
Thanks so much for your service. I am Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in London, England. And, there's so much here. I've gone through so much with, we went through radiation poisoning a few years ago. And so some of that technology ends up being challenging. And our dogs got tumors all over their bellies. We got sick. And, so now I have to be very careful. And so some of this technology, it feels like it's, got a life of its own. And but it's one day at a time that God just keeps taking care of us, even when we travel. And I'm so grateful. And there's always a solution. And, I'm also so grateful as we're looking for our right home that God just keeps guiding us and the Holy Spirit. And, I feel a lot of angel support. I feel just so much in the other realm of so much help. And I feel like there's always angels on the way. And as long as I keep reaching up and reaching out, that, all of these new theories and gadgets, some of which don't feel that healthy to me, I just get to be discerning and find how to navigate through this new world. And, I'm just so grateful to God and my fellows. We literally keep meeting angels, angel people along the way when we travel. And there's so many program people here. And, we got on the wrong train and met this amazing person who gave us all this great help with something that I needed to know about. And just every single time, I'm in awe of God's timing. I feel like God is this great orchestra conductor in the sky, bring in the Palmers. That's our last name, my married name, and bring in these people. And, and it's just so amazing, the timing of things. It's just astonishing to me. And I just see so many modern day miracles in my own life every day. And I just get to keep having eyes to see and ears to hear. And I'm so grateful for all of you. Such blessings to me. I have God bumps right now thinking about you. So thank you all. I pray that you all have a very blessed afternoon, day, and I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. And Murphy D., you're up, followed by Ellen M.
Hi, this is Murphy D. I'm kind of on my way to being a recovered compulsive eater. And thank you very much for your service, for your mother, for all the people doing service there. just in relation to this paragraph, I think an open mind and willingness and open mind is kind of important for me anyway, to behind the whole chapter and this paragraph. And my old ideas were to have my food behaviors and my restricting and my binging as a kind of a higher power. That's the way I dealt with life. That was my coping mechanism, was to kind of misuse food and misuse eating behaviors to deal with life, and I couldn't deal with life. So now I'm trying to have a new experience, and I'm trying to have an open mind and willingness to my higher power, what my higher power's will for me is, and having a relationship with a higher power that's going to keep me abstinent and help me have an experience through these steps. And I just did my fifth step yesterday, and had a really strong sense of peace after it. And it says in the book, I think it says, at this point we start to have a spiritual experience. So I'm feeling a little bit like that, like there's a spiritual experience happening. I've been working with a sponsor the last couple of months, and we've been working through the steps. And I had a kind of an experience when I reached the rock bottom. I started reading Bill's story, and there was a point where he met Ebby, and it was at a kind of that time I got the number from my sponsor. So it was kind of a God shot there, that I was connected with my sponsor when I was reading about Ebby. I think it's Ebby anyway. And I feel like maybe I might have something to offer somebody else as I go through this work. And, you know, might be able to help another compulsive eater. And you know, my own experience around food and restricting is, for a man, you know, is maybe a little unusual, or I'm not sure if it's unusual, but maybe I can help other people that restrict, men that restrict and binge and stuff. And I suppose I've done the whole gamut of eating behaviors. So, you know, I've been in another program for alcohol for 12 years and really didn't get the experience for those 12 years because I was in the food. So it's, you know, it's profound what this recovery program is doing for me. So I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for your service, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Murphy D. And Ellen M., you're up, followed by Lucy B.
Hi, good morning. This is Ellen M. from Illinois. Thanks so much for your service this morning. And this paragraph really brings me hope, because I think about all of the things that, especially when this book was written, what all of the technology that changed, and no one could believe it. And in my lifetime, we would call when I was younger from the payphone. And then I remember having a phone, I think we called it a brick phone, and it had to be plugged into the car. And I never could imagine that we would have phones now where we could see people. Like, I used to watch this TV show, The Jetsons, and they would be able to see people on the TV while they were talking. And when I was young, I thought, oh my goodness, I can't believe that could ever happen in my lifetime. And that just feels like it gives me hope that the ideas that I have now may evolve into new ideas that I don't even know exist. And we were so ready, Harris says, we were so ready to throw away the theory or the gadget, which just does not work for something new. And I feel like I am so set in my ways, and I think this is how it should be. And I hear the hope in other people's voices that they found a new way. And there are many things that will be revealed to us that we don't even know about. And I feel encouraged that that could be helpful in my life to help me with compulsive overeating, and then in turn be able to help somebody else and help a lot of people. And it's just a reminder to keep an open mind. And that's what I wanted to share. And so with that, I'll pass. And I hope everyone has a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen M. And Lucy B., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Lucy B. from Florida, a grateful compulsive overeater. I loved the sentence that jumped out to me was a complete liberation of our thinking. That phrase, a complete liberation of our thinking. It makes me think about letting go of these old ideas that didn't work. You know, earlier in the book, they talk about the earth being flat and that humans can't fly. You know, the ideas I think of letting go of are that food is any kind of comfort to me, that I need to manage and control external circumstances to be happy. I can liberate myself from those kinds of thoughts, those ideas, for new ideas that do work, like abstinence opens the door to a content spiritual life, and like letting go and letting God is the route to happiness and contentment. I feel like this paragraph is sort of transitioning us from old ideas that don't work anymore, our life and disease, to you know, the new liberating ideas that really do work for us, which is this wonderful program of recovery. Thank you. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you, Lucy B. And we are on page 52 of the big book. We've read, and we're commenting on the first paragraph that begins, "But in most fields," and ends, "For something new," which does. Who else would like to share this morning?
Sandy S. from Asheville, North Carolina. Ken W.H.
Ken W.H.
Mary A.
Oh, I missed somebody from Tennessee. I missed something. There was somebody before.
Mary A.
Susan. Yeah, Susan
okay,
G.
Okay, I got Mary A. And who?
Susan G.
Oh, Susan, thank you. Anybody
Tammy
else?
G.
I think you said Tammy.
Stephanie R.
Stephanie. Okay, this is, I'll tell you who I have. I have Sandy S., Ken W.H., I think it's Mary. No, it's not Mary A. Susan G., Tammy G., and Stephanie R. I can't read my own handwriting. Okay, Sandy, you're up, followed Sandy F., you're up, followed by Ken W.H.
Hi, this is Sandy S. From Asheville, North Carolina, currently in South Florida. I love that idea also, total liberation of thinking. I have this mantra that I just got about a month ago, wherein it is, I am letting my old, wounded, negative self-image die. And I'm opening to a new, radiant self-image that embraces both the lightness and the dark. And I, you know, have had long-term, very long-term abstinence. And it's only by the grace of God, because I had spiritual experience March 3rd, 1976 at 5:30, in which I experienced love. I mean, not the word love. I don't know what I experienced. It just came from nowhere. And I've been abstinent since that moment, because what I experienced was love, you know, just for a short period of time. And it was so incredible. This love was so much better than food, than anything I got from compulsive eating. And in that moment, I chose love. And in every moment since then, up until right now, when I talk about that experience, I actually start in this moment feeling that love. And that's what's kept me abstinent. And, but it's my job. I didn't create this spiritual experience. It happened. And my job is to ask God in every moment, what is the next right thing for me to do? And I want to say this, my biggest problem with hating myself, that was the darkness. I just hated myself with a vengeance. But countering that hatred is the light. I am willing to do anything. I mean, honestly, there's nothing I won't do. I'm an extremely disciplined, highly motivated person. And what I feel is that my life at 77 keeps getting better. It's like miraculous. And it's accelerating. And that's all I want to share. I just want to keep being open to both the pain and the glory. When would that I pass?
Thank you, Sandy S. And Ken W.H., you're up, followed by Mary A.
Thank you. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from, excuse me, North Carolina. The last paragraph in this one just really make me profoundly aware that what Bill is doing here, at least the way I understand the reading, is that Bill is making an apology for step two. We're not there yet. He's still setting me up, so to speak, to get to step two. I'm not there. I'm still at step one in the sense of, I mean, in this reading, in the sense that I still don't know exactly that I'm powerless. If you read this paragraph the way it's seems to be presented that we can do anything. We can think our way into just about anything. I can use my wits to get myself through. I can think my way out of this. And Bill is, I believe, setting me up what's coming to say, I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know. I'm powerless. Step one is critical. It's the beginning. And that paragraph before the whole discussion about the Wright brothers and everything else, we can use our minds. I can use my mind to think up all kinds of things. And we took an old piece of cloth or something, put it together and flew a few hundred yards and then proceeded to go to the moon and walk on the moon. We've also managed to go from bows and arrows to hydrogen bombs, too. So thinking isn't everything. And I'm profoundly aware that in spite of all of the talk about being able to fly and all that kind of stuff, I cannot fly. I'm a human being. I'm not a bird. I cannot fly. I can be flown and be in a passive position to be flown somewhere. But I certainly cannot fly. Ever will I ever fly. I cannot grow wings and feathers and I can't flap my arms hard enough and fast enough to get myself off the ground, that's for sure. Step one is my admission of that. Step one is my admission that I cannot stop eating compulsively once I've started, that I cannot fix myself, that I do not have the power to do so, and I cannot think my way out of this thing. I have had to surrender absolutely 100%. Step one, I am powerless. Yes or no? The whole issue of where that power is going to come from is coming. It's coming. We're getting set up for it. And I'm getting set up for it. And then he lays the hammer. You know, he says, I don't know. I end up saying, I don't know. I don't know. Help me. Something's got to help me. So with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Thank you, Ken W.H. And Mary A., you're up, followed by Susan G.
Thanks so much. Good morning. My name's Mary A. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Portland, Maine. And thank you for your service, and thanks to everybody who shared this morning. I was really moved to put my name in by this paragraph, especially a couple of sentences. In the opening sentence, in most fields, our generation has witnessed complete liberation of our thinking. Okay, so what this paragraph is telling me is that I need to have a complete liberation of my thinking. And then it goes on at the bottom to say the ease with which we discard old ideas for new, by the complete readiness which we throw away the theory or gadget which does not work for something new which does. I'm hearing a lot of background noise. And what I've learned so far when I come to this point in the work is that my thinking is where my problem lies. I have a broken brain. I have a brain that tells me so many lies. If I can just eat this and not eat that, if I can just control this person, if I can just not feel this way, if I can just, and that's my thinking. My thinking is trying to tell me that if I just control, if I just manipulate, if I just hide enough, that I'm going to be fill in the blank, right? I'm going to be safe. I'm going to be sane. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be whatever it is that my desire is in the moment. And what this paragraph is telling me is that I've got to be willing to discard that old theory, the theory that I can trust my thinking, in exchange for a new one that works, that to throw away my belief that self-reliance, that I'm smart and I'm capable and my smartness and my capability is going to solve my compulsive overeating problem. I've got to be willing to let that go in exchange for a different idea that we're going to find out in a paragraph or two, is that reliance on a power other than me is actually what works. And I'll close with this. I had a sponsor once and I'm sure many of you have heard this, who said, I'll figure it out, is not one of the 12 steps. You know, and I got this is not one of the 12 steps. I need to surrender to a power greater than myself, and I need to surrender my thinking, even when my thinking on occasion is fine. Like, I know how to pay my bills on time. I know how to execute the job that I get paid for. I know how to obey the law when I'm in my car. My brain works great in those ways. But when it comes to how do I assuage the feelings that I'm feeling and that sense of not belonging and that sense of disconnectedness, and I think that food is going to be the thing that's going to take care of that for me, that does not work. And I have to be willing to give up that theory in exchange for one that does work, which for me is God. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mary A. And Susan G., you're up, followed by Tammy G.
Thanks, Lisa. Good morning, everyone. It's Susan G. I'm in Tennessee, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, not cured. So this change of thinking, this complete liberation of thinking, yeah, I experienced it this morning. When I woke up, my first thought, really, my first thought was not even of higher power or God, I choose to call God. It was of our Floridians, you know, the people in Florida. And to have that kind of selfless thinking upon awakening, wow, what a miracle in my life, if you will. Sending peace and love to everyone down there, first thing. So this reading, it was rarely easy for me to discard my old ideas and old way of thinking, because I was just stuck with self-reliance. And self-reliance worked, and it was effective in many areas of my life. But it never was with the food, with the compulsive overeating. I was really able to have liberation from my stuck-in-the-mud kind of thinking, or I know best, that false sense of security and control. And it came from desperation after being in years and still picking up, still compulsively overeating, and being selfish and angry. And what happened was that I became out of ideas. I used every idea I had heard about and learned about. And there was a moment when I heard this word on this line, and I've already heard it several times in our shares, these beautiful shares, surrender. And it's like, what is that? Who does that? You don't surrender, do you? Surely not. Yes, yes, that's all I had left. That is all I had left. And it was that my own thinking, my self-reliance is what kept me from spiritually growing, stagnated me. And ironically, I found that surrender and setting aside, as the lead chair reminded us of that beautiful prayer, set aside prayer, set aside everything I think I know, everything I think I know about the book, hit it fresh, something new, and shut up and listen, one of our fellows says, you know, and just let someone guide me and lead me through the book, take the instructions clear cut as they are and apply them to my life. And, you know, certainly a change happened. And now I'm able to quickly have a new idea or hear it from someone I'm working with. And I have a solution to fear today. So food, I always knew what I was going to get when I was going to go for the food. But when I move towards power, towards God, there's this new spiritual way of being. It's often unknown what's going to happen. I don't know. But as has also been shared, I ask, what's the next thing to do? The next thing, to stay present, to stay peaceful, to walk in peace, and to be of service through it all. Even when I'm going through something very difficult. Right now I'm going through a possibility of another cancer diagnosis, and certainly very symptomatic of it. And, it's okay. I don't know what's going to happen. I know that my higher power, whom I choose to call God in this moment, is here now. All is well now. And that power extends out throughout forever of my life here. And I'm beginning to ramble. So I'm going to just say peace and love. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan G. And Tammy G., you're up, followed by Stephanie R.
Good morning. This is Tammy G. from Virginia. And I'm at this point, I think I'm reiterating what I've heard many people say, in that this idea of liberation, this idea of freedom, is really what won me over to continue coming back to OA. You know, those old ideas, like many of us have said this morning, these old ideas of dieting were just never worked for me. I mean, never, you know, some people have success with it. I never did. And so I really knew how hopeless my situation was, and I knew how impossible it was for me to try to control myself. And what I kept hearing when I would come to OA, you know, as a compulsive eater and a compulsive overeater, the thing that I kept hearing that really made me stick around was this idea of freedom from food. Hearing people saying that they didn't think about food, that it didn't matter to them, this idea of food neutrality. And man, you talk about a great message, because, you know, now that I am finally experiencing that, that is just something I just want everybody to hear. Every, you know, person who's new to this program, every person who struggles with this program is to hear, like, that this food neutrality is something that I never, ever would have thought would be possible. And yet here I am feeling it. And it is just such an amazing, amazing thing. And through this fellowship, you know, you all have helped me so much with that, and I thank you, and I thank God, you know, for, I'm sure God thanks me for saying, you know, for being like, yeah, finally, Tammy, finally you've let me do this. But I'm so grateful for you all showing me the way through that, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Tammy G. And Stephanie R., please share with us.
Hello, family. This is Stephanie R. calling from Missouri, recovered compulsive overeater. The beautiful thing that I got from this reading today is the new way of thinking. Before I came into program, I felt that I was the higher power for my whole family, that if I just got good grades, then my parents would be happy. I would control their happiness. If I just did certain things, my sisters would be just the way I felt that they needed to be really appreciated by the family. I felt I was in control of so very much. And today, with my new way of thinking, I find that I can step back and pause and always check with my higher power at the beginning of the day, that I release that sense of control over not my family, not only my family, but in every aspect of my life, my work, my relationship with my friends, my relationship with myself. I know that as I sponsor today, I find that for me, when I meet with a sponsee, I know I am not going to do anything to help them or make them become a recovered person. I can guide them. I can give them my experience, strength, and hope, and I can step back and say, God, take over from here, because all I can do is share what got me to the point of recovery. And that is a new way of thinking, because I would have come in here thinking that I had all the information, that I was so well informed, that I was going to get a person to recovery. And that's just nothing that I hold on to today. It's such a beautiful thing to say, here's what I have. Here's what I think will help you get to the point of understanding how you can improve your relationship with God, and leave it there. And that's a new way of thinking for me. I can take that thinking into every aspect of my life, And that gives me gratitude, because today I know I'm not in control of my thoughts, of my actions, of my behavior, because that God has that taken care of. And it really touched me today just to know that I do have a new way of thinking. And that gives me great joy. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Stephanie R. And it looks like we probably have time for at least three more shares, perhaps more. Who else would like to share this morning?
Susie S. from Nebraska.
Susie S.
Jerry D., Maryland.
Issa P. from Michigan.
Betty Ann from New York.
Okay, just a second. I have Susie S., and then I heard someone B.
Betty Ann from New York.
Okay, Betty, I have you. I had somebody B. and then somebody P. I missed those first names.
Okay. Lisa P.
Lisa, okay. And who is the B? Anybody? Did I mess that up? Okay, so we'll go with Susie S., Lisa P., and Betty Ann. Susie S., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. Susie S. from Nebraska, compulsive eater. I hope this is clear. So I read this passage a couple days ago, and I remember reading the word longshoreman and not knowing what that meant, but I kind of just let it go. And then yesterday, I had a conversation with a brother, and he brought up the word longshoreman, which is really random. And he explained to me what had happened. So a longshoreman is a person employed in a port to load and unload ships. So he was telling me that during COVID, the longshoremen were going on strike because they wanted 75% increase in their pay. And this consequently made a run on basic supplies like toilet paper. And so in the big picture, people were not, I think that the consideration wasn't there of what would happen. And so not everybody got supplies because people were hoarding. And this led me to think, how is fear a driving force? Where do I have fear that lead me to actions that where I don't consider?
Susie, yes, we lost you. Star one. Susie? I'm sorry about that. I don't know how we lost Susie, but Lisa P., you're up, followed by Betty Ann.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lisa P. from Michigan, and I am a grateful recovering addict of food, and I'm so grateful to be here. I love listening to meetings, and I'm so moved by what, and one of the things that I've just been hearing is the love that you feel when you have that spiritual awakening. It's something that you cannot explain, but it's such a beautiful feeling, that spiritual awakening that just opens you up, but it gives you a sense of peace. And I never thought that I could connect, you know, God with food, or I had a difficult time putting those together. And a couple sentences that really stood out to me is that, you know, I can actually myself hear God saying, you know, I bet they do it. Maybe not so long either. Like, God is rooting for us. He wants you, he wants me to have that spiritual awakening. And he is up there. He's given us opportunities, but it's when we are willing to open our heart and our mind to hear what he is saying and offering us to do. I think the first sentence, which talks about that, you know, those feelings that sometimes, especially in this generation, people are numb to their feelings. And that's not the answer either. But the overwhelming sense of feeling certainly has led all of us into a place where we don't want to be. So I guess I'm just, as I hear everybody, what I really am hearing is exactly what God commanded in his Ten Commandments, and that is to love your neighbors as you love yourself. First, we take care of ourselves, and then we have this amazing feeling that we can't hold on to, and so we want to share it. I can't think of anything else better than that. I wish everybody a beautiful day, and I pray for those in Florida who will be affected and already have been affected. Have a beautiful day, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa P. And Betty Ann from New York, if you'll give us the first initial of your last name. Betty Ann. And then a little bird told me that Abby D. had put her name in there. Abby, are you available? Would you like to share?
I'm sorry. I didn't know it was unmuted.
Okay.
Can I share?
Oh. Yeah. Is this Betty Ann?
Betty Ann H.
H. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Well, I want to thank you for being here every day. I listen every single day, and it helps me so much to get on with my day. I think I had very concrete, and I say concrete, meaning opinions about things, and especially about food and what I should do and what I shouldn't do. And I've always believed in God, but I thought God did not care about my food. I mean, that's ridiculous. Why would he care about that? And but then I realized that all of this concrete, definite opinions were fear-based. And underneath was fear of being vulnerable, of change, of surrendering, of all these important things that needed to be done to achieve abstinence. And finally, after years, I've been in the program for a long time, like 5 years ago, I must have had a spiritual awakening, because every time that I do have, I feel like my higher power is talking to me, it's a very clear, simple thing that pops into my head. The complicated, convoluted stuff is my stinking thinking. So 5 years ago, it just happened, and it wasn't me. And I was able to lose like 120 pounds, which I've never been able to do in my life, and fought with food and stuff. And now food is in neutrality, and I never believed, like someone said before, that I would ever achieve that. So anyway, I want to thank you for being here every day. You start my day much more soberly than it would be. And I had an injury where I broke my hip, and I've been very impatient about getting better. But I know that God is telling me it's in God's time. You will get better. And I am getting better. Anyway, thanks so much for being here, and I pass.
Thank you, Betty Ann H., and thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, October the 9th, 2024, is 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,813. That's 21813. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Vanessa G., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
Thank you. This is Vanessa G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. This is our closing. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.